qualities of key person has been hospitalized. So he's been discharged late yesterday, and therefore we come for our meeting this morning. So we will have to elect the acting chair for the proceedings. So I would now, in terms of the rules, the NA rules, I would now open the floor for nomination for acting chair. Thank you. Honourable Lottie.
I propose Honourable Matali.
Yes, proposal for Honourable Matali. Any seconders? Any further nominations or objections? Then we declare Honourable Matali as the chairperson for the congratulations.
I'm about to nominate myself.
Good morning, I'm Anneli Lopez, also a member of the committee.
Thank you very much. We'll then hand over to the department, to the minister, to take the presentation over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for allowing me to be part of this meeting. I think it's the first or second report some of the committee meetings I've been able to attend. I hope I'll be able to come to more meetings this year. Although the President was very concerned this morning that several ministers were leaving Cabinet to go to portfolio committee. And something, you know, we've asked the Deputy President to look at because, you know, you can't have a half empty cabinet. So the Wednesday matter is a concern that all of us need to address. So the briefing is going to be done by the department, and I'm here to assist if any questions that we need to answer. However, the chairperson had asked me to say a bit more about the letter she wrote to me on behalf of the committee concerning the change targets of the square kilometer array project and her concern that we were not sufficiently detailed in our response. Well, the reason for the change is that we had to reconfigure some of the pedestals and divisions that the configuration used by the engineering company wasn't to the standard required. We had a few dishes up, as you know, functioning. And when the fault was discovered, it was decided to stop us placing more equipment on the pedestals and making the dishes, and rather to fix the existing mounted dishes and then restart the that led to us recognizing that we needed to change the dates. It made more sense. It's more cost effective, because if we went ahead, would we plan to have the business up by March 31 as a number in the original APP, we then would have a huge amount of cost, because we'd have to repair everything, post mounting the decision in February. So we decided to halt the process, give ourselves time to get all the reconfiguration right, and then begin again. We are moving well. We believe we're going to meet the deadline. In fact, I'm closing it off the lead. We are going to meet it on 31st March 2018. We're having 64 up, and I hope that we will take all of you there so that we will celebrate sometime in April 2018. So this is a change necessitated by engineering needs, and I think it was a correct decision by the FTA office. So that is the explanation. It's not much more than that. It's what Ford should have done with Cougar, and they did it. But thank you very much, and I hope at some point we will come and do as we do normally in full briefing on FDA. Things are moving very well. It's an excellent initiative for South Africa, but for the continent as well. And we are sure that we are a lead part of it. Thank you, Jacob. Now we're going to hand over to Mr. Tommy McCordin, who's our acting director general. Our DG is away at the moment, so Tommy will present on behalf of the Director General. And we have officials from government here, we have advisors, we have our Deputy Director General responsible for research and development support. So we've got a very strong team, and we'll be able to answer all the questions out of the. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you very much to the Chairperson and the Honourable Member. Let me start just by introducing on the far right is Mr. Martin Mokai, the Minister's Advisor, and next to me is Lisa DuPont, who's representing Program 3 on behalf of Dan DuPont, not related at all. And then Andres Sheila is representing the CFO, the acting CFO. Next to him is the Chief Director, Nandra Kamki, representing Program 5. And we all know where Dr. Thomas of the IGA and the back is like it's from Program 9, and the Jimmy Marisha of the Minister of Life of Staff, Lungani Angelele, who's the MLO, and then Buyanda Francis, the Minister of Parliamentary Vice Office, and Giva from the Minister of Office. Thank you for the opportunity for us to come and do the presentation. So the outline of the presentation is as follows: Chairperson, the purpose, the background. Of course, we'll then look at the performance at the DSP strategic goals, and then we'll look at the performance per the DSP programs, and then we'll then look at the financial performance towards the end. Of course, the purpose is to present the DSP's third quarter performance and financial report for the 2016 financial year. And just to remind the committee, in terms of the policy mandate of the DSP, the committee is familiar with the fact that the DSP derives its mandate from the 1996 White Paper on Science and Technology. Of course, it then introduced the concept of a national system of innovation. And our view is that the NSI remains an ideal for which South Africa continues to strive. It is an enabling framework for science, technology, and innovation. The committee is aware that currently we're in the process of drafting a new White Paper 2017, and the minister is confirmed to indicate that the NSI remains as the organizing concept. And lastly, of course, the description of the NSI is described as a set of functioning institutions, organizations, and policies that interact constructively in pursuit of a common set of social and economic goals and objectives, seeking to promote change through the introduction of innovation. I'm not going to go through the slides. Basically builds on the same mandate that I referred to from the NRDS, the innovation plan, and so on and so forth. So our vision, therefore, is just to increase the well-being and prosperity through science, technology, and innovation, and of course, the mission of the departments and the committees familiar with is to provide leadership and enabling environment and resources for science, technology, and innovation in support of the country's development. As a department, we do contribute to the government outcomes. We contribute to outcome 2, which is a long and healthy life for South Africa. And then outcome 4 speaks to creating decent employment through inclusive economic growth. Outcome 5 speaks to a skilled and capable workforce that aims to support an inclusive growth path. And then outcome 6 speaks to an efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network. And then outcome 7 speaks to a vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities and food security for all. And the last outcome is environmental assets and natural resources that are well protected and continually enhanced. We've got 5 strategic outcome-oriented goals as a department. And the first one is to ensure that we've got a responsive, coordinated, and an efficient NSI. The second one is to ensure that we increase knowledge generation. The third one is to ensure that we develop our human capital, and then we want to utilize knowledge for economic development. And lastly, we want to utilize knowledge for inclusive development. So these are the 5 strategic outcome-oriented goals that are in our strategic plan. And of course, that then inform our education and so on and so forth. So how then are we contributing to these goals that I've outlined? In the period under review, honorable members, the department had 46 outputs that were planned. And during this period under review, we were able to achieve 67% of the planned output target. And 33% of these were not achieved. And later on in one of the slides, I've indicated the reasons why some of these were not achieved. So this slide is basically a graphic illustration in terms of our performance. As I indicated, 67% achieved and 33% not achieved. And then back to the strategic outcome-oriented goals. With regards to the first one, in an effort, of course, to build a responsive, coordinated, and efficient NSI, what we've done under this period under review, amongst others, the Minister recently signed off on an update, which we regard as work in progress, with regards to the DST's response to the task team that was set up with regards to the R&D tax incentives. In summary, in the form of an update, the task team, amongst others, recommended the simplification of the administrative process, and of course, we needed to improve turnaround time, and that's what we currently are doing. And further, the task team also requested us to have a new version of the guidelines, which we have, and a new layout of the R&D tax incentive information on the GST website. And of course, we're working towards this new simplified application form and progressing in terms of the application. With regards to the same strategic outcome-oriented goals, in the period under review, we are happy to report to this committee that the Cabinet recently approved the Cabinet Memoranda on Budget Coordination, where it was approved during the fourth quarter. However, we think we need to reflect it as something that's quite important for the committee to know. It's an issue that the committee has raised around coordination before. I think it's quite an important milestone that the Minister will elaborate at some point. The second area in terms of coordination, we are in the process, I indicated, of drafting a new white paper, 2017 on science, technology, and innovation, which is currently underway. And at some point, the draft white paper, once all the processes have been concluded, will then be brought to the committee for further processing. Furthermore, in response to this strategic outcome-oriented goals, we were also able to participate in the UNESCO Institute of Statistics, Science, Technology, and Innovation Advisory Meeting, which took place between the 22nd to the 24th of November. And currently, there's a process that's underway to review some of the concepts in the scientific and technological activities, or what we refer to as SDA. And these are used mainly in South Africa by the DST in measuring the publicly funded SDA. And of course, South Africa's contribution to the meeting was largely based on our experiences in applying the guidelines that are provided by UNESCO in collating some of the survey data on expenditure and budgetary information on government-funded SDAs. In the area of knowledge generation with regards to human capital development, in the period under review, we were able to support or provide bursaries to more than 10,439 PhD students. Similarly, we were able to provide provide support to 9,753 postgraduate students, so those are being masters and honor. And in terms of our internship, we were able to provide, of course, of late 900 in state graduate interns. I'm told that number is now risen from 950 for the period and reduced. Similarly, in terms of knowledge generation with regards to research chairs, the Department of Higher Education and Training, in collaboration, of course, with the DST, we've identified this DST NRF SACHI program as a research platform that's suitable to support its policies and plans. And for this period under review, the DHET will be providing support for these chairs to the value of 97,734. I think it's something that should be worked out. The committee has previously raised the issue around coordination and collaboration between government departments, and I think this is quite a significant step. Similarly, in December 2016, the minister approved the issuing of a call to establish the 6 research chairs in post-education and training. And of course, the proposed chairs are envisaged to be, or will provide the reliable resource to tap into when the DHET needs high-level research work to be undertaken in terms of post-school education. And these are some of the areas that have been identified in teaching and learning, in the area of leadership, management, and governance. This is an issue that has been raised with regards to school management in particular, in the area of digital learning, and of course, the web-based learning. The call for these chairs will include 8 other chairs that emanated from various engagements, and by the end of 2017-18, a total of 230 research chairs will be established. In the area of research infrastructure, honorable members will recall that last year in October, the DST launched the first South African research infrastructure roadmap in the country during an international conference that was held here in South Africa. Of course, the strategy will be used to ensure that big science infrastructure are able to attract scientific talent to the continent. So SARIR, as we call it, we believe that it will ignite research by bringing together scientists in various scientific disciplines in order to build the largest infrastructure on the continent. We are also of the view that the study of the roadmap will also assist us in developing a number of things that are to adequate and relevant research infrastructure, which is essential in promoting quality outcomes in research so that we're able to develop a competitive and sustainable enterprise. And lastly, our view is that the study will be a high-level strategic and systematic intervention that will provide research infrastructure across the entire public research system, of course, building on the existing capabilities, strengths, and of course, drawing on future needs of the country. Now, as a result of SARIR, a number of research infrastructure with regards to respective government sectors has been approved for implementation. And of course, this includes those in the medical sector, social sciences, and the operation practitioner. And just to list a few, the first one, of course, is the nuclear medicine research infrastructure, which will be a world-class screening platform for drug research and development, in particular with reference to providing a one-stop shop for preclinical and clinical screening, upgrade diagnosis, and so on and so forth. The second area is around the South African Network for Health and Demographic Surveillance Site, or HDSS. In terms of this proposal, it's aimed at establishing a prospective research infrastructure called Society in Motion, which will observe longitudinal health and population dynamics, to conduct trials, test interventions, and in order to and also uplift rural communities. The third area in terms of this new SARIR is that the establishment of the National Center for Digital Language Resources, which will provide, as we indicate in the slide, to provide a door for the humanities and social sciences in order to ensure that they engage optimally in digital methods for research and development purposes. And lastly, the area of shallow marine and coastal research infrastructure, which will enable us to contribute optimally in terms of unlocking the economic potential of the ocean economy. Similarly, with regards to the SKA, as the minister has indicated, there's been a number of developments. Of course, the feeder cells have all been installed, the 32 dishes. Our view is that those have been installed by the end of the financial year, or some have been installed. 22 tests have been conducted. And as the minister Minister indicated the project is progressing well towards meeting its goal of having the 32 single polarization antenna array functional as planned. And of course, there's been good progress noted in the implementation of the African Very Long Baseline Interferometer Network Initiative, in particular in Kuntuse in Ghana, where the antenna that we're supporting has been completed and is functional, and there's work that's currently underway in Botswana and also Namibia about this initiative. Honorable members, this is an aerial picture of what it looks like now in the SK site. These are the antennas for the meerkats, and you can probably see some of the pedestals, and for sure this by now has been reached to completion. Just wanted to share with the committee, this was an image that was taken by what is known as the Karoo Array Telescope, which was a precursor for the meerkat. And you can see from the picture, it's not very clear, a bit hazy. And then I'd like to show this picture to the honorable members, which is much more clear. This is the first image that we got from the meerkat. That's an indication of how the project is progressing. Now, with regards to the strategic outcome-oriented goal around using knowledge and innovation for economic development, the progress that we'd like to report to the committee around the implementation of the bioeconomy is that in line with the bioinnovation objective to revitalize struggling sectors of the economy, the department has contributed to the development of the forestry beneficiation framework for South Africa. Of course, we've been working with other government departments such as BTTI, Department of Environmental Affairs and Forestry and Fisheries. Furthermore, in partnership with other stakeholders such as the SAFI, Mondi, Hans Marensky, and the University of Pretoria, we also hosted a symposium to conceptualize and formulate a new phase of the forestry molecular genomics program, which is aimed at improving the eucalyptus genome for bio-based products from wood. And in this regard, 7.5 million was set aside for the project for the next 3 years, or has been set aside for the project for the next 3 years. Another update that we'd like to report to the committee is that the newly established soybean improvement platform has been progressing well, and an amount of 1.4 million per annum is invested in the project. And there's a process to identify deliverables for the next 3 years, which has just been concluded. And lastly, there's also a process to identify deliverables for the next 3 years. I've indicated this has been concluded on the wheat breeding platform, which was also registered and newly characterized breeding material is available. In this regard, 13 million will be invested in the next 3 years. Similarly, the update that we'd like to provide to the committee on the health front is that there's an agreement that the DST has entered into with the South African Medical Research Council for the development of various health innovations and technologies through the Strategic Health Innovation Partnerships, or SHIP, as it's currently known, and a number of achievements that we'd like to highlight in particular in terms of trying to find solutions for both infectious and non-communicable diseases are as follows. In the area of diabetes diagnosis, there have been tests that were conducted, and we're expecting that this specific initiative will provide individuals with the opportunity to make appropriate lifestyle choices, and similarly, to start early treatment timely to either stop or to slow the progression of the disease. The department has contributed, of course, 3 million for the validation exercise, and the MRC and the Danish company further invested 20 million, which shows that they believe in the opportunity. And then, of course, in the project known as the AmbiFlow, which is expected to provide a cheap and easy-to-use device that can be used by midwives and nursing sisters at primary health care centers and antenatal clinics in remote and rural areas to detect fetuses at risk of stillborn, thus improving antenatal and postnatal care. In this regard, we've invested almost 11.575 million. And of course, this creates opportunities not only for the country, but also if you look on the continent, whether it's through the World Health Organization. These are things that the CSIR will be tapping into to look at these opportunities. And of course, in the area of breast cancer precision medicine, there's an innovation that's come up known as the MammaPrint, which has been adopted by the Metropolitan Health Medical Scheme. And to that extent, the Metro last area will be just to an update on the Ntembe project. The progress that would like to report to the committee is that NECSA has conducted an independent review of this program, and the review report and the recommendations are currently being assessed by a steering committee. And of course, 16 active projects related to human health are currently underway with 23 institutions participating. And this includes the universities, science councils, and the private sector. And we have provided details in terms of how many postgraduate and postdoctoral students were supported, in particular those from historical disadvantaged backgrounds in Middle. And to this end, 25 million has been invested in the project since 2009. In the area of titanium, we are aware that in the period under review, we were able to run the titanium plant for 3 consecutive days, and the product was kept from the reactor for the first time during this test. The other development that we'd like to report on is that the project AeroSwift successfully printed the first component, which is used in the HHLIC aircraft. This is a light recognizer and counter-intelligence aircraft developed in South Africa by this company. And the pictures just give an indication of what it looks like. Again, in the area of titanium, this therefore proves that the next generation, the additive manufacturing printer, is able to meet the design goals as were set out in the project. And of course, a lot of additional qualification and verification is therefore required. And therefore, the other milestone towards, which is another milestone towards ensuring that the technology is approved. With regard to the area around inclusive innovation for inclusive development, as Mantlantla says, there's work that was reported previously to this committee about our partnership with SIOBI, or the South African Essential Oils Business Incubator. We're able to achieve 0.97% of oil yields on the 3 DST rose geranium pilot plant. I believe the committee has been to some of these sites, in particular Yanyile, Zalaze, or Skip dams. And of course, this yield of 0.137 is quite important in the fact that it's above the 0.1 yield norm, which is normally utilized by the CSR models, and as such, confirm an improvement in the current process. And of course, we have said this is quite a good indication in terms of the protocols that the COV has developed in the production, harvesting, and the distillation of essential oils. This work, of course, will then form the basis for the establishment of a sustainable rural-based rose geranium sector. Now, as a result of the success that COV was able to achieve in partnership with the DST, they've been able to attract about 10 million rand during this period under review in terms of other investment from other funders to establish a network of producers in rural KwaZulu-Natal. In the area of grassroots innovation, in the period under review, we're able to place a call for grassroots innovators to register on a grassroots innovation database, which was published. And we are happy to report to the committee that the database is now registered 150 grassroots innovators. We created with 81 females and 14 female innovators covering the following sectors: ICT, energy, water, retail, agriculture, and health. In terms of how SCR is influenced inclusive development discourse, we are informed that in the period under review, the DST was invited to present a model on innovation for inclusive development as part of postgraduate training. The DST's invitation to engage students on innovation for inclusive development, we believe that it indicates our position on providing leadership in this area of work, which is of course linked to the sustainable development goals agenda through the science, technology, and innovation for sustainable development goals initiative. In the area of international resources, the committee is aware that last year, towards the end of the year, both South Africa and the EU were able to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Science and Technology Cooperation Agreement, and of course the Declaration of Intent on Marine Research and Innovation Cooperation was signed with the EU. There was also the 14th meeting of the Joint Science and Technology Cooperation Committee, in short what we refer to as the JSTCC, was held on the Manchester course of the celebrations of the EU South Africa 20th In addition, we also hosted for the first time on the African continent the third edition of the International Conference on Research Infrastructure, also here in Cape Town. In terms of our overseas bilateral cooperation, we also hosted the South Africa-China High-Tech Expo in Fenton, which provided a platform, of course, for dialogue and networking and created opportunities for technology and investment. A number of South African science centers were able to exhibit during this exhibition. I think in next year, this year, it will be hosted by China. In the area of multilateral cooperation in Africa, the minister participated in the first science and technology ministerial group of 20 under the 2016 Chinese president of the G20. And of course, on the continent, we were able to consult on the African engagement strategy with our entities. Eight African countries, of course, also participated in the Science Forum South Africa, which was held in December, including three ministerial delegations from the countries that are listed under Swaziland and South Africa. And of course, we've interacted with a number of multilateral bodies such as UNESCO, ICSU, IASA, ICGB, and of course the Nine Align Movement on science and technology also attended the first forum. So in terms of performance for the period under review, just to remind the committee again that there are five programs for the DSC. Of course, the mandate is the White Paper Science Technology, the NRDS, and the 10-year Innovation Center. So we derive our mandate. We've got the administration, which is program one, program two, technology innovation, program three, international cooperation and resources, program four, relates to research, development and support, and the last one, socio-economic partnerships. So how have we fared for the period under review? The slide then provides an indication in terms of our performance. The period under review program one was able to achieve 73% of its target, and of course we're not able to achieve 77% of the target, 73% achieved. In program two, they were able to achieve 80% of their target, and 20% of the targets were not achieved. Program three, 56% of the targets achieved, and 44 of these not achieved. In program four, 67% target achievement, and then 33 not achieved. And the last one is program seven, also sitting at 67%, with 33 of the planned targets not achieved. And of course, we'll come back to the reasons why they were not achieved. This is just a graphic illustration again in terms of how we have performed. And then program one, which provides overall management and administration of the department, will start with program one, and these are the stakeholders that we interact with. In terms of the annual target that we have around ensuring that 90% of our documents are aligned, these are planning documents, the APP aligned to the strategic plan and submitted to the Parliament by the April. For quarter three, our target was to ensure that we submit the second draft of the 2017-18 APP to National Treasury and the DPNP by December. I'm happy to report that this was achieved. The second target was to ensure that DSP entities provide or are able to send through to the minister their 2017-18 strategic and annual performance plans that were supposed to be approved by the minister by 31 March 2017. I'm happy to report that the second draft and the APPs to DSC and the public entities were actually submitted to the National Treasury and the DPME by November the 30th. The last target under this slide is that we were supposed to provide on an annual basis, we were supposed to provide four DSC 2016-17 quarterly performance reports. For quarter three, one quarterly performance report was supposed to be approved by EXCO. In this regard, we're happy to report that DSC target was approved by EXCO. We've got a target for 10 public participation programs that were supposed to be hosted by the minister by the 31st of March 2017. And for quarter three, there were three targets, that three public participation programs that were supposed to be held by December the 31st. We're happy to report that we've been able to host all those public participation programs. In the same period under review, we're supposed to provide 4 media articles out of a target of 16 per annum. We are happy to report that we've been able to overachieve by providing 17 media articles in an attempt to enhance the public, of course, or to profile the PSC in the public. In the same period under review, our annual target is to ensure that we pay suppliers within 30 days of receipt of invoice. And for quarter three, we're supposed to ensure that suppliers are paid. We have managed to ensure that suppliers are paid within 30 days of receipt of invoice. So that target was achieved. So that's just the sample of the performance of program one. For program two, represented by Christina Pinto at the back, which is supposed to ensure that we provide research and development in strategic and emerging focus areas in order to promote the realization of commercial products, processes, services from R&D through the implementation of enabling policy instruments. What is it that we're able to achieve during this period? The annual target there is to ensure that we've got the 275 new disclosures, and then for quarter three it was 100 new disclosures reported by publicly funded institutions. For this quarter, we were able to, we exceeded that target by 137 new disclosures were recorded by publicly funded institutions in the period under review. The second target for program two was to ensure that we conduct the annual target expense evaluation and assessment reports. And for that quarter, we're supposed to provide two evaluation assessment reports. We are happy to indicate to the committee that again we exceeded this target by three. We're able to provide 5 evaluation and assessment reports by the 31st of December. The last one is to ensure that on an annual basis we provide 208 trainees supported in strategic and emerging research areas. For quarter three, we're supposed to provide support to 190 trainees. Again, we overachieved. Christina will indicate why we overachieved in this area. 234 trainees supported in this area. In terms of program three, which provides develops and promotes and manages international relations, including opportunities in science and technology agreements that strengthen the NSI and enable an exchange of knowledge and capacity and resources between South Africa, its region, and international partners. So that's a picture of the minister receiving, of course, the Grand Cross of the Merit of the Federal Republic of Germany. Now, in terms of program three, the annual target is to ensure that 230 million is invested by international partners in the whole organizations in initiatives that are targeted at cooperation in research, innovation, and SDI human capital development. The quarter three target was to ensure that the 60 million that's invested were overachieved by 5 million, and Lisa will be able to provide reasons why we overachieved in this period. The second target is to ensure that the 450 international partner organizations collaborate with South African partners. Our quota target was to have at least 110 international partner organizations collaborating with South African partners. In this period, again, we also achieved by 10, which therefore means 120 international partner organizations collaborated with South Africa. For the same period, under review, we're supposed to have 5 dedicated international technical and changes to build or reinforce South Africa's capabilities in key SDI domains. For this period under review, again, we overachieved with 22 dedicated international technical exchanges to build or reinforce South Africa's capabilities. For quarter three, again, the ICR program was supposed to have 3 AU or SADC SDI initiatives, including programs, projects of governance framework, and also at EU or SADC ministerial level. For this period under review, we were able to ensure that 6 of those initiatives were endorsed at EU or EU level. So we achieved that. With regards to Program 4, represented by Dr. Afi Haider, the annual target is to ensure that we've got, we support 10,136 PhD students. The quarter 3 target was to support 2,811. We're happy to report to the committee that we overachieved with 3,239 same period under review, we have a target, an annual target of 840 graduates and students placed in DSP funded workplace preparation programs. The quarter three target was 800 graduates and students placed, and the achievement, as I indicated earlier, has now been exceeded. It's 930 students now stand at 915. And then, with regard to researchers awarded research grants, the quarter three target was to ensure that we support 4,085 researchers. We achieved that target as well by providing support to 4,175 researchers during the period under review. The annual target under public science awareness and public engagement is to ensure that we reach 1,200,000 participants, whether it's learners or members of the public. In the period under review, we're supposed to have opposed three science festivals, six of these are science centers. And of course, we're happy to report that the period under review, we hosted 9 science festivals. And of course, there was participation in 8 semi-Olympic and competitions. With regard to program 5, which is the last program, the annual target is to ensure that we've got 7 decision support interventions that are maintained. And the quarter 3 target was to ensure that we monitor the implementation of workplace plans for the 7 existing decision support systems. And we're happy to report to the committee that we've achieved that target by ensuring that we provide support in the following areas in terms of the rural innovation assessment tool, what is known as RIA, the corrective action request support system, partial central evidence for planning in South Africa, of course, the urban knowledge hub and the municipal innovation maturity index. In the same period under review, the program FALC had undertaken to ensure that we provide 3 learning interventions by December 31. We're happy to report that we're able to provide 4 learning interventions in the quarter. So that's been achieved as well. In the annual target of ensuring that we fund 200 interns or co-fund them in R&D related to design, manufacturing, product development, the quarter 3 target is just to continue to monitor the internship intern numbers and ensure the implementation of these activities by the entities. In the performance for quarter 3, we're happy to report that 153 interns continue to monitor, so we've achieved that. The next one is 9 instruments funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and R&D led industry development. That's the annual target. The quarter 3 target, of course, is to continue to find 9 instruments. We're happy to report that these 9 instruments were funded in the period under review. During quarter 3, with regards to the annual target of providing 35 knowledge and innovation products, the target was to validate the 5 knowledge and innovation products. We're happy to report that we provide the support of 21, or we're able to ensure that 21 knowledge and innovation products were generated in quarter 3. And the list is indicated there. 4 for forestry of South Africa, 30 for fresh produce exporters, and 4 for sea. In the same period under review, we had undertaken that we'll ensure that we implement 2 innovation support to, which are supposed to start. We're able to provide 4 innovation interventions to the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan Regional Innovation Forum, to the Western Cape Development Partnership Regional Innovation Network, and of course the Bush Park Region Agricultural Development Network. So I earlier only indicated that we'll provide reasons in terms of underperformance on targets which were not achieved. And in the main, it relates to the 4 risks. One is the target formulation deficiencies, which means the deficiencies when the targets were actually formulated, because of variables which were not foreseen during the target formulation process. The Minister, Honorable Matali, has actually reminded us time and again that the Department of Science and Technology is trying to ensure that we're a bit accurate in terms of this target formulation. The second one relates to process delay, which refers to factors which are not outside the control of the DSP, and therefore the achievement of such targets is mainly dependent on outside circumstances. The third area is around administrative And the last one is around the effectiveness of the implementers, which will be agencies that implement some of these initiatives on some of the others. So these are really the four reasons for funding. I'll then go to the targets that we have not achieved. And the annual targets in terms of filling of vacancies, we have indicated in the EPP that it will take us 90 days to fill vacancies after the date of advertisement. And for the reasons that the committee has been appraised of, for quarter three, there were no vacancies filled due to the budget cuts. Of course, we have not been able to achieve that. There's an engagement that's currently underway between the department and National Treasury to see how we can resolve some of these issues. As the committee is aware, this is not the only matter that affects the DSE. It affects almost all government departments. Similarly, with the vacancy rate, our view is that due to, of course, process delays, we won't be able to achieve this. In terms of IT, we have a target of ensuring that by quarter three, we complete the 100 million projects and so on and so forth. And this was outstanding. However, this has been mitigated by the fact that Treasury was able to agree to the environment request that was sent by the DSC. So we can promise the committee that by quarter four, this target will be achieved. For quarter three, there was a target for two new technology products, processes, and services that were supposed to be developed. We were only able to develop one, and one of the two targets for this quarter was achieved in quarter two, so we're not achieved. And then in terms of ICR, we have indicated previously to the committee that most of these targets that we would not have achieved in quarter two and quarter three are mainly achieved in quarter four when we receive evidence from our international partners. So for the target, for the quarter three target, which indicates that we're supposed to bring in 100 million, we have not been able to achieve that. Similarly, with the 50 South African students that we were supposed to participate in training. So those we can promise the committee that in quarter four we would have turned around the corner. Similarly, in terms of the 10 research innovations and SPR-ECD cooperation, co-funding, we have been able to achieve this due to the outstanding evidence again from international partners. It's the same with the next target of 30 million. From international funds. Again, it's outstanding evidence from partners. For quarter three, we had hoped to provide support to 9,896 postgraduate students, and the progress to date is that we've provided 9,353, quite close, and for sure the committee will note that the effect from the fees must fall had an impact on this target as was previously reported. And I think the minister has adequately spoken to the target around the year cut. I'm not going to repeat that. And then in terms of dissemination of findings of the 2015-16 report on government funding for scientific and technological activities, that target has not been achieved due to delays in the approval processes and the required benefits of the clusters. And then, of course, the report on the performance of the R&D tax incentives, that's still outstanding. The report has to come through to Parliament, but first it's going to be presented to the clusters and the cabinet committee. And some of these that I've referred to are currently in the next few weeks, will be in the next week or so, will be before the clusters. Similarly with the final 2014-15 R&D study, probably being tabled at the next committee. So we've not been able to achieve that one. And then we're supposed to ensure that we begin work with regards to the field work for the 2016 Business Innovation Survey. And there were delays in terms of replacing the subject matter experts to proceed with the review. We have not achieved the target. And then the last one is around pre-approval decisions provided within 120 days from date of the application for the R&D think I reported on this much when I spoke about some of the challenges. So those are some of the targets that we have not been able to achieve in the period under review. In terms of financial performance or apologies in the area of life, the performance was around 5%. So this is just the brief performance of the department as we stand. The indications from finance is that as of February, we were sitting at 94.4%. So we are confident that we'll be able to spend the budget that's been allocated. And this is just the budget split by economic classification, compensation, benefits, and classes. And of course, 92% of the budget has been transferred to the entities. For this period under review, I think what's important is the deviation that we incurred of about 2.4 million, but the good that we've been able to spend according to our project plan. And that's just the financial performance program, including, of course, the parliamentary plan. So in conclusion, honorable member, I think the DSC remains committed to ensuring that the goals of the MDP are realized. We'll continue to ensure that we play a central role in providing some technology innovation initiatives that, of course, enhance service delivery and development. Amongst others, of course, this will include initiatives around human capital development, innovation supporting interventions that are being implemented in provinces or priority district municipalities. And the example that we are listing is the sanitation service delivery launch with regards to the innovation sanitation technology in the Eastern Cape that was launched sometimes for the end of the year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. question. Thank you for the presentation. And thank you, Minister, for being here. I'm sure the collective IP of the cabinet must be substantially reduced with your absence. Thank you very much. I especially on slide 50, page 8, speak about the basically the audit, the NRF, the GST program, 3,269 of them. I'd like an idea as to, in terms of the shift from gender, racial makeup, which is very important to the monitor and where we're heading in terms of making sure we expand our knowledge base and the diversity that we face. It's one of the things, and just a comment on the amount of 97 million plus. How does that assist us in terms of market-related salaries for those chairs so that we can ensure to retain the skills within the public sector, not have them leave to and then cause a further problem right down the line? Then also there's a couple of interdepartmental programs, the Department of Environment, Affairs, Agriculture, Forestry, Fisheries, Property and Education, and some others. Do we have an idea as to what the value of those interdepartmental programs are? I mean, are they creating their share in terms of the budgeting for it? I'm not going to have to try to follow the budget and they benefit. And then also, in terms of our investment in many of these research and development programs, is there any return on our investment? In terms of finding ways of getting money to fill those vacancies, to make up for the reduction in our budget so that we also generate our own money for those investments. Because there's quite a couple of substantial programs there. I know the department invested heavily in the CubeSat program at CPUC, for example. Are we getting anything in return? Because there's quite a number of industrial applications, people benefiting from these research and development programs. We mustn't allow ourselves to be abused. Surely we want to grow size and we want to achieve. But on the other hand, we also can't allow ourselves to be abused and that we, in some sense, grant to halt the transformation because we don't have money. So I'd like to know, are we getting
thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for being late, but I left. I did 6:25 this morning, just to try to be on time. It took me more than 3.5 hours. Now, there is something seriously wrong with the traffic services. It was one taxi closing at certain state speed lanes on the N1. Now, people were traveling from Kaifeng, I traveled from Belgrade. Other people traveled probably 4.5 hours. It was a major problem. I think Volkswagen has designed now a little cubicle. You get into it, put your GPS in, and then it takes you like a drone. And it flies about 10 meters up. So that is what I want these people to invest in. Because it is a fantastic thing to come. But nevertheless, the difficulty with the Department of Science and Technology is that I think it's our good news department in government that it's difficult to be critical. And I want to say thank you for that. On slide 60, there was a slight delay in the audiovisual upgrade because of finances.
Just tell me a little bit more about the audio visual art program. Why was it necessary? Why? What do you use it for? And then on slide 70, 92% of your finances is in transfer funding. My concern is forward. If that money has left your budget, it goes to SHIP, it goes to various other institutions. Do you follow that money in such a way that you are happy that when it ends into SHIP, the money is well spent or correctly spent? Is there some sort of report back from those institutions who's getting the transfer papers? Hopefully, yes. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must also commend the department on the work that they have done. You can't actually find any fault. Just some clarity that I was on page 7. The website hasn't been updated. I checked the website again last night. Some of the stuff is updated, but with the RMD tax incentive, it's just a one page thing. So I would like to know when there will be plans put in place to update that. And also, if the application for the people that want to apply can be put on the website to make it more specified. Also on page 26, slide 51, students for PhD was 3,239, which is put slightly low for me. But I also want to know this figure, does it only involve South African students or are it also funding international students from the bursaries? And then the last one, page 30, slide number 60. You said there was a violence which took place. Can you please enlighten us to tell us from which department the violence took place and the amount that the violence was for? Right.
Thank you very much. My apologies for being late. I took the bus, which had the, they could take the bus lane, but we still couldn't make it on time. So, yes. On the budget, on the MTS budget, following on Minister Pravin's budget speech, I had a look at science and technology after our discussion on the CSIR, and I saw that they had outside funding, Minister, after our discussion as well. But I'm actually following up on the question that my colleague raised on the staff component. It says here that on your documentation on the science and technology department allocation, a cabinet approved reduction of 11 million rand over the medium term expenditure on compensation of employees. The department expects to fill only 34 vacant posts in the period end. 11 million rand reduction is a huge reduction. So I think my colleague's question is a very, very valid question. Because 11 million rand sits for a lot of folks. So I would like to add on to a question to ask, which folks are you actually going to fill, on which levels, and which ones are you actually going to, are you going to let people go, firstly, or are you only not just going to fill vacant folks? Because this is critical. I mean, this is a lot of money that we're talking about. Thank you very much. And if I can just add, Minister, on the CSIR, can we get clarity on, even though it's not in the table now, on where those extra funds get are coming from, or should we leave that for another meeting? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Th I see that in page 14, in the presentation on bioeconomy implementation, that the bioinnovation objective to revitalize struggling sectors of the economy, the forest beneficiation framework, in the development of that, there are three departments that have been involved, which is commendable. But I want to understand slide 14, where you talk of a database registration of 150 grassroots innovators. I want to know to what extent other departments are involved in this regard. The reason I'm asking this is that some of the projects that we visited last year, in particular the mango processing, there was a need for funding to come, which one thought probably your IGC could come into the picture and commit and have a stake in that venture and grow it from what it was, because it truly showed some kind of potential. And also what we observed when we went to see SIR in Pretoria, where we met small emerging business people who are involved in a variety of products, but they are unable to take them from the level where you have taken them. Yet their products are ready for commercialization. But if you have other departments coming into the picture, it could make a very severe impact in that regard. The other comment is around slide 29, the administrative delay that also contributes to our inability to achieve your target. I'm trying to find a better way to phrase this, Minister, but if it's an administrative delay, it's an internal problem. What has been done to try and deal with that? I see that Mokode preempted me from asking the same question, but or formulation, because he spoke to that and preempted me from asking it again. I won't mind if you comment on that once more. Also on slide number 31, confidently said that you will be able to reach the target on issues that are beyond your control. I don't know how sure are you about that, whether you will be able to browbeat them into paying, or how are you going to deal with that? Because it's surely beyond your control on how they come into the party. If you were wishing, I would understand that you wish you will reach that target. But if they don't cooperate, how are you going to deal with that? I think those are the few comments that I wanted to make, but to commend that, you know, at least other departments are coming on board. But I think much more still needs to be done to the department to think along the same way as the Department of Science and Technology. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Minister of Finance and the Minister of Finance.
So where it's necessary to initiate that process, we would do so. We are in discussion with Treasury about the compensation budget, because I do think there are areas where it could impact on our performance, and Treasury has recognized that there is a need to perhaps develop some form of a protocol, because it's been almost a general approach by government without specifying perhaps a closer look at departments that allow us, which are small, but not a large department, or departments that provide, say, critical services, such as the police, health, and education. So we're looking at developing a framework which would allow us then to provide room for some concession while still having that authority of the Minister of Finance and public service, so that there's no abuse. Because, you know, we do have a problem of a public wage bill that's far too big. We need to have greater devotion of resources to investments in the economy and in productive capacity. So we're committed to executing the decision of government in terms of paying greater attention to efficiency and to better use, perhaps, of our human resources. So more organized direction of staff and support for junior staff, greater attention to planning and execution by the senior management. I think all of us are beginning to realize that we work smarter, work differently, but where it's very, very difficult and constraining for us, we speak to Treasury. We've already done so. And I think we have received a positive ear about this notion of a framework or protocol to inform the decision that would be taken. The officials will speak to the number of vacancies. I can't quite record all of them. Of course, we employ very well, you know, qualified people. They're very attractive to industry, some to universities. We can't always compete on salary. You know, the more we go out there and work with institutions, international organizations, and the business sector, the more they become aware of the quality in the department, and so they do kind of poach our people very fine. You know, we must develop a range of human resources that can allow for that. On the report referred to on page 33, slide 66, it's my intention that in the next fortnight we'll go to Cabinet Committee, and then to Cabinet, and then it will come to Parliament. As far as I recall, the memo on the tax incentive has actually gone through already, and therefore it should be submitted to Parliament. But the others in your report, we're still processing in the proper manner, and once done, we will make sure they are reported on. We also will have the normal public release of the R&D survey and the other public reports that we should do as a department. On the pre-approval and the tax incentive, the program has put in place a process mechanism for speedier processing of the documentation on the tax incentive. I don't know why they say, you know, it was so tough to prepare for minister, because they do funny things like smelling badly, and I'm not prepared to buy such documents. But we've agreed that in this coming financial year, we must have gone through the backlog and should be dealing with up-to-date annual submissions rather than still be dealing with 2012, 2014. We're almost done. I think it's been moving well. But backlogs are very difficult to deal with. I had this experience in Home Affairs, and it's really bad on resident services. electricity, we've done that, and it's beginning to move. And I do sign off on huge files. The colleagues keep saying that if they're going to delegate this function, and I think I'm a little bit uncomfortable about delegation, given the act and so on. But when there are no more spelling errors, then I've got fewer on the demographics that Honourable Paul has referred to, we have a directive to the National Research Foundation that the majority of the bursaries will go to black men and women, and that we must reach more than 50% of female recipients of the bursary. And from recent reports I've been looking at on STEM skills, we're reaching those numbers. As you will recall, in 2014, for the first time, there were more black PhDs graduating than other groups in our country. It's the first in our history, and the numbers were even better in 2016. So we need to keep that up. We do try, and we are in constant deliberation with the NRF. However, I have become concerned at the degree to which we are maintaining good database in this regard. And I also think that black has been used sometimes to refer to both South African Africans, but also Africans from elsewhere. And I think we need to disaggregate the data further so that we're not being fooled and are not finding that we are benefiting postgraduate candidates from the rest of the continent to the disadvantage of African candidates in South Africa. So it's something that we're now paying closer attention to and gathering data on. But there are those directives from the ministry which specify how the funds should be allocated. I do find sometimes, and I have to say this to you, members of this committee, that some of our entities don't like being directed. And think they're, you know, some independent thing out there, but they exist to execute the national priorities of the country. So it would be good if some of these questions are also posed to them to ensure that they are alert that it's not just me, but it is the whole of Parliament and government that is concerned about achieving the levels of representativity of all the talents of the country. On the South African research chair, Thomas, maybe you speak to that. Are we competitive? My sense is we may be, but you can speak to that. And the matter of what we gain, I must say, Honourable Paulson, I still think that we have not quite succeeded in embedding this relationship between research outcomes and commercialization. I think it's still weak evidence, a new phenomenon in South Africa, and our universities tend to be quite traditional, I think, much more the old guy of universities rather than the modern South American way of doing things, where business formation is a strong part of the mandate. So it's a culture we still needed to inculcate. And the existence of offices of technology transfer is going to help us to generate that culture. But we also need much more resourcing. I think we need the IDC to be more firmly convinced that it should invest in innovation rather than established companies, which it might be tending to do. So there's work that we're doing. We're talking to all these institutions to develop innovation funds in each of them. We've been very thrilled, I think, from my perspective, at some of what's beginning to emerge from the private sector. Better research appetite, more attention, particularly to startups in the ICT sector, only much bigger funding to achieve the levels of commercialization that we should. So I think this is a question that we must perhaps do some homework on before research work, some interesting innovations have emerged, especially in the biotech sector, and the colleagues working in that established company, which benefit them as business owners, but there's no return to the department. So we need to be more alert. When an entity is established, 5% of it should accrue to the state or some such arrangement, and a larger proportion to investors than the original patent holders. But not quite, I think, at the point where we put that back. Well, audiovisual upgrade, I'm not sure myself, but officials will be able to respond to that. And yet, we are a department that largely transfers because we use institutions to achieve our objectives. This is the meaning of a national system of innovation. And what we are trying to do is get that system right, hugely connected, better coordinated and coherent, to give you the kinds of outcomes that other countries have achieved. And we do monitor the entities report to us on a regular basis. I get all the quarterly reports. We comment on them. We interface with the chairperson of each of the entities, and annually they present their APPs. We have a compact that we sign, a shareholder compact between ourselves, myself, and each of the entities. So we do monitor. We meet on a regular basis. We have a meeting of the heads of science and technology organizations, all the research, even those beyond science and technology department. So yeah, there's, you know, that interface is there. I agree with the Honorable King on the website. This is a problem of modernization of management that I think we've got to get much better at, improve significantly. But we need to do much more and be regular. And I think what we do is we make a change and then kind of leave it. And then someone points out, hey, you haven't done anything for them. We go again. You know, and I think we have to have a better manager for it. And perhaps a young person is much better at looking at it. And then on bursary, Thomas again will speak to that. On the CSIR, well, the CSIR is a Schedule 3 within the CFMA, and Schedule 3B are able to generate income and resources so they can do business, essentially. And CSIR is a huge organization, as you know. If you were to go there and spend half a day, you just don't know the half of it. It has a defense component part to it, it has a cyber security, strong engineering wing, it provides services to small and medium-sized enterprises, and now even to significant multinational corporations. This is a very big entity, and is able, through its intellectual property, to actually commercialize it and sell it internationally. So they have parts where they are generating about 1.5 billion annually, and then they get some resources from us, other programs. So they're a big organization, and we value them because they are really important to South Africa. Compensation, we're addressing that. Colleagues will speak to the matter of the post. Honorable Matali, we're very excited at the response we're getting from the rest of cabinet, even with respect to the agricultural part, AgriPark government program 2030. We are strongly involved in the research enterprise there. And the oceans economy, again, we're providing support on innovation and research. And through the CSIR, a number of those small and medium-sized enterprises are going somewhere. And we do have some of them successfully commercializing into bigger corporations in the country. For example, supported by the biomanufacturers of food as CSIR, and their products are in tunnels as well as this equipment model. So these SMEs are beginning to generate resources that I think that's really good. The ensuring of the meeting of targets is why the staff exists in the department, so they must make sure that targets are met. And you know, some of the reasons I found really peculiar, but you're very nice members, but you're asking very gentle questions. I really think as you know, administrative reasons doesn't make sense to me, and I would, if I were an MP, which I was many years ago, I would have known that you know you can't get away with much. So I think the department must explain more as to why 33% of its quota targets are not met, and one it must be how they're going to change setting of targets or improve planning. Because it's not just internal processing, it's also sometimes poor movement of funding. It's also inadequate interaction with receiving institutions. So not getting invoices from them on time, or not indicating project funds available. All of those must be addressed. And I think if you give real reasons and not rhetoric, you know, process behaviors, you know, what is that? That we should identify these bottlenecks clearly for the committee so that the committee sees that it understands what the inadequacies are, and we are actually going to address them. So we'll make sure we improve in terms of the reasons in the future. Excellent. So over to the team on the issues I've left out.
Thanks, Minister. Maybe just to start off with the ones that the Honourable Marcel approached. I think the Minister has answered the bulk of those. We're working, for example, on the mango processing initiative. I think it's the new development agency. I think that's the question that the Honourable Marcel asked, and a number of other stakeholders. But I think ideally, your one, that initiative in that area, should be part of the integrated development plan of the municipality, so that speaks to their development as well. But in the progress we are making, I think the minister has spoken to some of the initiatives under the DDIC, and of course, Member Kelele is now exporting to 10 African countries some of the products through the support of the GST and the CSIR and the Jobs Fund within the National Treasury and the IDC, the question that you raised earlier on. I think the second one was around the international or ICR, the partners. Well, we are confident, Honourable Makan, just by yesterday, the press conference that we received the reports confirming the 460 million that was supposed to drive from our international partners. I think we're in a fortunate position where we have a very good relations with all our international partners. So we are definitely confident that we'll be able to meet those targets by the end of the quarter. I think the minister has spoken to the administrative delays. I think certainly we'll definitely improve. Partly it relates to the quality of the reports that we receive from some of the agencies, of course. We internally, we've now set up a team between internal audit, finance, and M&E, which is monitoring and evaluation, to really interpret some of the reports that we're receiving so that we ensure that the targets are there for it. But we definitely take the point that we need to improve on some of the reports. I think, Honourable, we'd definitely like to fly you here within the proper regulated environment. The issues around the upgrade that you referred to, it was the entire system that had to be upgraded. It was IT, all servers, IT aging infrastructure, and so on and so forth. And the funds were actually reprioritized internally, but obviously we need to seek approval from Treasury. In addition to what the minister was referring to in terms of the engagements that we have with entities at the ministerial level, discuss with the staff conference, Honorable Bertlansch and Honorable Lordship asked. We currently have 42 vacancies, and it varies in terms of senior management, SMS, MMS. And in certain instances, we are engaging with our entities where they do have staff that can assist us, but also internally to look at just resources that we can utilize. We don't want to lose anyone, because members will appreciate, in most instances, the actual guest here, that we can apply to this.
So that was
great.
Yeah, as we excuse you, Minister, we think you have heard what we said without us able to raise our voice to show that we are not excited about the internal processes that are not properly explained, and you responded to that. We are confident in the next presentation there will be more clarity on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then I'll leave the rest of the questions for the highlighting on the acting table. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting DG, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. First of all, just to, I think the concern raised by the Honourable Porter about the demographics and our diversity, the Minister has already answered that. I will wait to see if he comes back in just now, so let me go to the Honourable King's questions or comments around the number of PhD graduates. We of course about 80% of enrolled PhD graduates get bursaries from us. And that is more than about 14% of masters and the 8% of masters and the 4% of honours students. So we emphasize the funding of doctoral students, but still are only able to cover about 18% of the funding. Your question about the extent of support for international doctoral students, we adhere to the SADC protocol in education, which provides for, I think, 4 or 5% of South African university places to be awarded to SADC nationals on local terms and conditions. So in other words, 4 or 5%, we limit to 4 or 5% of expenditure the amount of bursaries that are available to SADC students, so it is the protocol. And then in addition to that, in terms of the guidelines that the Minister mentioned, which he sets to, or she sets to the National Research Foundation around demographics, there are also guidelines around international. So this adherence to the protocol is one of those guidelines. And then I think there's 5% of bursaries that have been reserved for students from the rest of Africa, outside of the SADC region, and the rest of the world. So I think it's about 10% or 12% of funds that are available to international students, but it's capped at that level, for the reasons that I've mentioned. If I can return to the questions the Honourable Balser raised, the Minister already answered the Honourable Member in terms of the demographics and the management of that, the monitoring of that. In terms of the salaries of SACHI chairs, Honourable Porter, these 98 million that you're talking about basically fund the chairs that will be established, these 6 chairs. And the emoluments for research chairs are about 2.6 million rand for a Circle Tier 1 chair and about 1.8 million rand for a Circle Tier 2 chair. Now, within those amounts that I've just mentioned are funds to cover the salary costs of a chair, plus research costs, plus student support. There is no limit placed, as far as I can recall, on the additional salary that the research, that the SACHI chair may earn from the university that employs them. So the SACHI chair, in fact, is a fairly good award for an established researcher to have, because their average earnings is much higher than the average earnings of another academic who didn't have hold the SACHI chair, because they can supplement their income
through the Saatchi Chair. That was part of the idea of establishing the Saatchi Chair, is to create a competitive instrument that retains the most established researchers. So as to whether that's competitive, well, it would depend on who you compare it to. I suppose there are many universities where really established university professors could earn a lot more, but there's probably far more universities in the rest of the world who are earning a lot less. So we think that it is competitive in the sort of market that we're competing for. Then you also asked, also the value of these interdepartmental activities and programs, also drawing on the 98 million that the Department of Higher Education is funding for these chairs. Well, I think there are a number of ways in which interdepartmental cooperation is not only improving the amount of money that's available for research and development, but also increasing efficiencies between the departments. So this example of the DHET making 98 million available, which we did not have, for six research chairs is one example. We have a similar example with the Department of Housing, I think, that has made available money for research chairs in that area. So there are a number of other areas like this where cash is actually made available from other departments for purposes that are aligned with the department's activity and that are often rolled out through our entities. So the DHET, for example, also provides funding for postgraduate bursaries to the National Research Foundation, who administers them on behalf of the Department of Higher Education and Training. And then in terms of improving the efficiencies, there are a number of different ways in which this happens. You quoted the Department of Environment Affairs, for example. You may know, honourable members and honourable chair, that for research in our South African National Antarctic Program to take place, we need access to the Agalas II, which is the research vessel that the Department of Environment Affairs owns and manages. And so we need logistic support from them to access that ship. The charge out rate for that ship does not cover, as far as I understand it, the full cost of actually running that ship. In other words, the Department of Environment Affairs, in partnership with the Department of Science and Technology, supports the SANAP program. They support it by providing the ship, by managing the ship on our behalf, and by not charging us an arm and a leg for the use of the ship. So there's some cross-subsidization there, if you wish. They also benefit from the South African National Antarctic Program because we fund some of their researchers to participate in that program. So there are a number of different ways in which these interdepartmental relations do benefit in material and in-kind terms the activities that the department is responsible for. But certainly there are opportunities to improve the benefit that can flow from that. And there are a number of initiatives that we are engaging with other departments to try and improve that. I think those were the key issues that were directly related to my area of responsibility, but if I could just add one additional comment to Honourable Kornhoff's concern, a question about do we monitor what happens to the funds that are transferred to the institutions. The Minister already spoke about, at a macro level, how this is done. But I should also mention that each of these transfers is covered by an independent agreement. Apart from the high-level shareholders compact that the Minister was referring to and the annual performance plan, which those entities table with this committee, each of these funds is governed by an independent contract as well. And in terms of the PFMA, we are required to monitor the use of those funds through those contracts because they are all covered by the PFMA. So each of these entities for each of these funds has to provide us with not only annual but quarterly reports on the projects that are funded directly by them. So we have an extensive oversight of what happens in those funds. So it's governed and monitored at a lot of different levels. And then the Minister asked us to just briefly comment on the vacancies. I think that the point was made by the Minister, and I'm sure that speaking on our behalf, on our colleagues, my colleagues' behalf as well, we have complete sympathies for the need to curtail government employment costs. But at the same time, there are sometimes, when one institutes policies like this, unintended consequences in small corners of the system that, you know, can't be catered for in large macro-level policies. but those unintended consequences need perhaps then to be attended to when they emerge and become obvious, and that's what the minister was talking to. So I think that's our view on this, that we understand the need for this, but there are unintended consequences for efficient small departments like these that might undermine the overall purpose of containing these sorts of expenditure. And that's what the minister is dealing with now politically, and the DG with the Minister of Finance and the National Treasury. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Are you still commenting?
I'm done. You're
I mean, I think we'll have a check. I think there's an end from the non-natural.
You can drop it next year. We can put it in there.
My apologies there as well. We won't go into the transport issue. What I would like to just add in terms of the return on investment is traditionally we function as on a grant basis. So that in most instances you're not looking for a direct return on investment. So we are looking at the return on investment in terms of the impact of the initiatives that we're funding. And that's been from a marketing derivation perspective. We'll look at potentially down the line job creation. TIER, as part of its functions, has in the past taken equity. And in terms of some of the sales of that equity, there has been return on investment of that. I think roughly, not a firm figure, but in the order, I would say probably 80 million rand from, you know, in totality. And those funds have been reinvested into the system. So the intent is to actually take the funds from you know, from those projects that have succeeded and provided some funding, and then fund other projects. Similarly, in terms of the OTT function, I've just asked Kerry, and the survey will be launched in early April, whereby we have been looking to see within universities, specifically in science councils, what has been happening over time in terms of the projects that they've been funding, the outcomes, at least the outputs that are being commercialized and the like. And as part of that is to also to evaluate what is happening in terms of finance and luck and royalties that come back into the organisations. Now, royalties is never, no organisation is going to get rich. Okay, the majority of organisations will not get rich from royalties, unless you're Microsoft. Those are few and far between. So the expectation is we're not going to see hundreds of millions coming from that. This is a gauge of what's actually happening within the uptake in the market of the various outputs. So there are various different mechanisms, but primarily because of the way we function, the return on investment is an indirect measure as opposed to direct money on the table. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. You are also allowed to compete on these other chairs that are not occupied. So that when you contribute, you can do so comfortably. Are there follow-up questions or comments from the Honourable Butler?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to respond to the document. Maybe the Minister's not here also. My organization, my partnership is, we're not concerned about using government money. Government will have capacity. We cannot, there's
for example, let's say the sanitation program you've got in the Eastern Cape, you cut your wage bill and you say, wait, that's not important. That's an essential service that you need to deliver to people who need sanitation. But now we reduce, that's the sort of thing that you want to keep. If there's going to come along a researcher that's going to provide better forms of irrigation, better forms of sanitation and providing all the services, we need to refer these people. We must not put an emphasis on cutting down wage for this. You know, we don't want to outsource essential services because then we're going to pay much more for this. We must facilitate that. And the Science and Technology Department is an example of a department that provides these services. You know, especially we don't have it in social development and all the places. We can reduce our headache much more. So, you know, we should look at other places if we want to reduce costs. But not in the way it's more, not only providing excellent services to our people. If we had the money to pay proper people, not, you know, and proper ministers to run departments and portfolios, we'd be in a perfect position. So it's not about reducing wage rolls. It's a very, very short-sighted thing to reduce a wage bill of government. Just so that if we increase that wage bill and get proper skills to solve real problems, we could reduce government expenses a lot. So from our side, you know, we're not going to push for reduce the wage bill. We're going to push for improve the quality of services, improve capacity of government, no matter what it costs, because the citizens of this country will benefit along the road. But big business will not benefit in the immediate term. There will be some, but not from this government. The government must be a government with a real capacity to deliver to people. And that is what we're going to be fighting for from now till 2019. Of the 2019 problem solved. Thank you very much,
Jefferson. I would be commenting about the comment. It was a comment, but not a question. And we have allowed for members to make comments, and I think that was the only comment that was made. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you, acting DPG and the team, and the Minister in absentia for the presentation. I think like what you said earlier before the minister left, what is important is that the question is asked. How it is asked is a different thing altogether. And we will try to continue to ask questions the way we do. Of course, if you keep on bringing the same issues and you must ask the same question again, probably we might end up getting uncomfortable. I don't want to say annoyed that you don't seem to be taking us seriously, because we asked a question on this matter and you come and present again an answer that is not being scientific, and we don't expect it from the Department of Science and Technology that, you know, we ask a question, it comes back again. It's not appropriate, and we should not do things that are not appropriate. But generally, I think members have said that you make it difficult for us to answer because you are doing a good job. We commend you for that, but you can do more and better. But thank you very much, and have a good day. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. say anything.
No.
You find mine, CMG, but you did a favorite of picture 63 and so
on. Oh, this one. I didn't sign. Well, there's the other one that is signed.
Sorry, sorry. You sign this one from CMG.
Oh, so it's fine if I sign that.
No, no, no. You must sign the Parliament one to get to 63 with the Palladium with specs.
Now,